So what is your reaction to reporter Cheryl Atkinson resigning from CBS News? Reportedly because she was frustrated with the network's liberal bias. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, March 17th. Do you think CBS News has a liberal bias? How about the other TV networks? Do you have examples of slanted mainstream media coverage or really good solid reporting that you do not perceive as biased or agenda-driven? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And please, let's make this about national media and not about Wisconsin Public Radio, because even though our guest is a Wisconsin native, he's from Viroqua, he is not listening to WPR Daily or researching us as he is national media in his role as media analyst at the Media Research Center. Tim Graham is also the executive editor of Newsbusters, a project of the MRC. He's also co-author of the book Collusion, How the Media Stole the 2012 Election and How to Prevent It from Happening Again in 2016. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Yeah, we're all shut down here in Washington, D.C. We must have gotten 6 to 8 inches of snow overnight, and that definitely shuts this town down.
Oh, that's right. You were going to get another snowstorm. Boy, you're getting hit worse than we are in Wisconsin. Jeez.
And I only have one shovel.
Yeah, but it is cold here. It's been really cold this winter. But anyway, thank you for joining us from your snowbound location. Let's talk a little bit about Cheryl Atkinson's problems with CBS. Tell us, from your understanding, why she perceives a liberal bias at CBS News.
Well, I think in her case, you know, she's never been a reporter who you would watch and say, wow, she's really a Republican. She has been in the Obama years doing stories that most of the media haven't been doing. So, for example, this story about what they called Operation Fast and Furious, where the Justice Department under Obama let guns, quote-unquote, walk into Mexico, where they let drug gangs or whatever take guns into Mexico. This was a scandal, especially when a federal, a U.S. government agent, Border Patrol, was shot and killed by one of these guns. You know, and it is one of those things where you would say, that's a really important story. Well, the networks basically have went months and months without doing anything. Cheryl Atkinson was on that story and couldn't get the network to put it on the air, and did point out, she, a lot of times her reporting would end up on CBSNews.com. At one point, she talked about how the Obama administration people screamed at her that she would, you know, pester them with this story. And then more recently with the assault on the consulate in Benghazi, she's been breaking stories on that, and again, mostly on CBSNews.com. So it becomes, in this case, it's not just a case of, well, she's reporting these stories with a agenda in them. I think you can argue in this case the agenda is, this is an important story, I'm trying to report on it, and everybody keeps telling me not to.
Yeah, so these stories never saw broadcast?
Occasionally. Let's say, for example, what we found in the Benghazi case was there would be 4 and 5 months between them. You know, we do study the nightly news and the morning news shows on these networks, and so the first thing we wanted to do, and months ago, before any of this happened, I said, let's find how many months between stories. Now, that doesn't mean she's not on the news. She was doing other things. And we should point out that it's not like she was so obsessed with it that she refused to do other stories. For example, she had recently done stories on how freshman members of Congress were already accepting junkets and things like that. So she was doing other stories, but it was the stories they didn't want her to do, I think, that were the that were the battle. And the interesting thing is, in today's era of social media, you know, she was also a presence on Twitter, so she would put her findings and things on Twitter. And so it's just interesting in a sense that that kind of hard news has been like, well, sorry, we're not interested in that. And, of course, that's not what we saw with CBS News in the Bush era, where they were the ones that broke the Abu Ghraib scandal, where they were the ones that, unfortunately for them, broke the so-called Bush's National Guard Service story with phony records. You know, there was so much aggression against Bush. And what we've seen in the Obama years, and you can see with CBS starting with the 60 Minutes interviews that Obama's done with Steve Croft, it's just a series of 10 or 12 softball celebrations of Obama on 60 Minutes. And, you know, you used to think 60 Minutes was one of those tough shows that really really got to the bottom of things. Not in this era, it's not.
Yeah, Politico called her a right-wing hero because she challenged the Obama administration on Fast and Furious and Benghazi. Do you think that's an accurate label to put on her?
I think she doesn't think that's an accurate label. She's just trying to do a story. I guess I don't think it's inaccurate in the sense that, yes, clearly conservatives are looking for an expose of Obama. That's certainly true. But again, you know, what these people say when they're bashing Bush, hey, we're just doing our jobs. We're just getting to the bottom of it. We're just holding the president accountable. And this is what happens. And then the president changes, the president's party changes. And what are they holding accountable now? So the latest story that was a big thing for Obama was he gave an interview to a comedian about Obamacare, and it was hilarious. And they had it on CBS, and Gayle King, who's one of their morning show hosts, said, "Bravo, Mr. President." And, you know, and that's sort of the tone and the tenor of what you see too much now, is just sort of a celebration that everything he does is terrific, that he's funny, that he's articulate, and that he really has the country's best interests at heart. And I think, yes, you could argue someone's a right-wing hero when they're just trying to do that traditional reporter's job. I think Politico, in that case, was trying to diminish her and say, the same way that people would say, well, she'll end up at Fox News in 5 minutes. What they're trying to say is she is some sort of propagandist for the conservative side. And I think anybody who looks at her career at CBS over 20 years is going to see a straight shooter. I can go back and try to look for her liberal bias, and I'm going to have a tough time finding it, to be honest. I went looking for it. So, but I don't think that, you know, if you go to one of these other groups, one of those Media Matters or these other groups, you're not going to find a ton of Cheryl Atkinson reports.
Well, Media Matters is floating the idea that Atkinson may wind up at Fox. Do you see that happening?
I think it's possible. I mean, let's face it, Roger Ailes has hired a lot of talent from other networks. Well, the 5 minutes are up, but it's certainly possible. I mean, he's hired some people that we didn't like. When Greta Van Susteren was hired, her record at CNN was quite pro-Clinton. Geraldo Rivera, you know, you kind of wish he wouldn't be hired anywhere. So they have hired people at Fox News that you might not expect. But they have hired other people. And, of course, Bernard Goldberg, who has, you know, left CBS under this sort of a thing, is a regular guest of Bill O'Reilly's, but he's not a reporter anymore.
Yeah.
I guess he does some stuff for HBO, for Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. But
well, that Politico article or other articles on Atkinson's departure from CBS did quote, colleagues or sources saying that they perceived Atkinson as having an agenda, an anti-Obama agenda, and she is working on a book about the trouble, you know, covering the Obama administration. What's your response to those charges?
Well, obviously, we're looking forward to the book. You know, Bernard Goldberg wrote this book, Bias, about inside CBS. It's really one of those things we don't. there's not exactly much of a genre for those books. And it does remind me, in a sense, of what happened to Juan Williams, and that Juan Williams was on Fox, and the NPR audience never liked that. He wrote a book after he left. I'm not sure it was a bestseller. Bernard Goldberg's book was a bestseller. He went on to write another five or six. But
About the charge?
Juan Williams called his book Muzzled. Yeah. You know, sometimes this is where you're right, that you could say, oh, they're writing this book for the Fox News audience. I'm sure that that's who bought Juan Williams' book. But I guess what I was going to say was, what we don't tend to have a lot of is what you would call inside the media exposés. There's really not a lot of that.
Yeah, what about the charge that as a reporter writing this kind of book, and perhaps because of her politics, that she had an agenda? That's the type of story she wanted to do.
Well, like I said, I think we'll see. I would just simply say to you that from the sound of her reporting over the years, and I would include on these stories, she's not a hair on fire person. She's not a she's not a talk radio regular. I think that people now want to say, oh, this person's always been a right wing agitator, and I just think it's important to say that's not the case. And it may be that you could say that this experience has made her more conservative because she's upset, and I don't know if this is true, but she's upset at how people who would claim to be for transparency, you remember this president came in saying, we're going to be the most transparent White House. Well, that certainly has not turned out to be the case. I think the problem we have as conservative media critics is the way that so-called independent journalists sort of shut down and stopped doing the tough stories, even on things that they used to be very tough on George W. Bush about. So, well, we're not so interested on drone attacks now. We're not so interested anymore on Guantanamo. And so a lot of these stories, it looks to us that the media are Obama's left-wing heroes, to use Politico's thing backwards. And, it's a time where, yes, people are looking for actual reporting on the president, actual reporting on what the administration is doing, and we're not getting a whole lot of that.
We are talking with Tim Graham. He is Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center and Executive Editor of Newsbusters, a project of the MRC. And we are talking about the departure, the resignation of Cheryl Atkinson from CBS News, in part citing the liberal bias at CBS News. What's your reaction to this? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Health and Human Services today told us it's in no position to confirm or discuss enrollment figures because it doesn't have any. A spokesman suggested that enrollment was always expected to start very slowly and then skyrocket as the deadline approaches, Scott.
Cheryl Atkinson breaking the news tonight, and we'll follow up tomorrow. Thank you, Cheryl.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about reporter Cheryl Atkinson's departure from CBS News. Another sign, our guest says, that the network is moving in the wrong direction. Our guest is Tim Graham, Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center. Tim, that was a clip of Cheryl Atkinson reporting on Obamacare numbers, and that's what apparently she was doing a lot of reporting on. That was a story critical of at least one aspect of the Obama administration, was it not?
Yeah, I think that's true. And what we tend to have is we have periods where they all decide that something is news, and then they drop out of it. And so the rollout of the Obamacare website was something that you really couldn't deny didn't go well. So they all did stories on that. But if you really look at the last, this year, you know, if we go back to January 1, you're going to find not a whole lot of reporting on Obamacare. And yes, the numbers are part of the issue in that last September, the Health and Human Services Secretary said, they said, what success? She said, we'll get 7 million by the end of March. Well, we're at 4.2 was the last number we got. And so that's one of those things where, again, the rollout has not been successful. We're going to get to the end of the month and find they didn't meet their own goals. We've had endless delays. We've had the liberal media making fun of the House voting to, quote-unquote, repeal Obamacare. This is exactly what they were doing, is they were voting to delay things.
Yeah. I'm just wondering briefly if you know, the network wanted her to focus on Obamacare and thought maybe there's been enough of Benghazi and Fast and Furious, et cetera. This is what we got to look at now, not necessarily we're trying to shut you up on those issues.
Right. All I can tell you is I don't have any knowledge of what was going on inside. And I certainly think that a news manager could say, nobody else is doing this, why should we? That would be a line you could use, because it's true. And it's certainly true, you know, that we're still looking for news developments on something like Fast and Furious when something happens. Because we all understand, you know, right now the hot story is what happened to that Malaysian jet. And everybody's doing that. So, you know, you're going to construct your newscast on what's happening now. You can't always do a story about what happened 3 years ago. So everybody should understand that. So I think that this is one of those things where what we try to do when we look at these things and say, this event happened. Did the networks cover it? And what you normally find is, no. For example, the other thing that is ongoing is the scandal under the IRS delaying on investigating conservative nonprofits. And Lois Lerner, who is the IRS official in charge of this, keeps taking the Fifth Amendment instead of testifying. And so we would look at that. There was a big controversy there just last week. So who covered it? Well, what you find is one of them covers it and the other two pretend it never happened. And that's what we're looking at is, this controversy that she is in the middle of is about how many things are we going to decide are not newsworthy as they happen. It's one thing to have a fight over if they said, Cheryl, that story is over. That story is done. Which, again, it still does have, as we've earlier suggested, political overtones. We all understand that. That you can say, well, we don't want to we don't want to report on that Obama scandal because it could hurt him, or we really want you to report on that Obama scandal because, you know, in our case, we might say, let's try to do the same thing to Obama that you did to Bush.
Let me get some callers in. Dave in Menominee starts us off. Hi, Dave.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, the same thing we did to Bush. If we would have had President Bush and Dick Cheney held accountable, you know, things would be way different. I thought CBS is more of a conservative station. I watched this fake guy come on with the Benghazi interview telling a complete bogus story about how he sat and crouched and attacked a person scaling a wall, and he just made up all kinds of crap, which the right wing still rails on.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Lara Logan of CBS reported on Benghazi, and it turned out that it was based on, you know, a false witness.
He was not an eyewitness. No, that's absolutely right. 60 Minutes in that case not only put this guy on, but gave him a book deal through Simon & Schuster, which is, you know, sort of the corporate sister to. I can say to you, obviously, yes, let's acknowledge the facts. That guy was not a reliable source. And you could say, there goes 60 Minutes again. But he raises a good point. That's a point where the liberals can say, you overreported Benghazi. I don't think he overreported a bit, but they certainly, you know, when you have an eyewitness, you better be an eyewitness. But I think that when I looked at that report that Lara Logan did, I think they felt that was what they were bringing to the table that was new. I think most of that report, you could say, Oh, well, that's a decent summary of what we know to date about what's happening or what happened there. And
let me get Mark in La Crosse on before news, and maybe you can respond after news. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Say, my only comment was that I told you when I called in is that I do think that the interviews have been really soft served towards anybody that's back in the Obama administration. You look at the IRS scandal, that dictated a lot more coverage than what it really got. Gun running, spying on the AP, stimulus money. Why haven't we had a real deep down in-depth research of where the stimulus money really went when all this money got poured into the government to try and turn the government around? Just seems like there's no scrutiny of them at all. And when the next election comes up, we'll all be going, oh, it'll be historic. We'll have the next woman president as the liberals go behind Hillary or the other gal out of New York. It'll be the same ramp up, the same stuff. Everybody's going to accolades about, oh, this is historic. This will be the first time, and then get everybody wrapped up in it.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark. We'll get Tim Graham from the Media Research Center to respond to your comments after we check the latest news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about liberal bias in the media. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 6:36 on this Monday, March 17th. We are talking with our guest, Tim Graham, the Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center and Executive Editor of Newsbusters, a project of the MRC, pointing out liberal bias in the media, about the departure of reporter Cheryl Atkinson from CBS News. She resigned from the network last week, citing liberal bias among the reasons. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Tim, our caller before news said that CBS and most of the national media failed to do their job in a wide variety of various controversies like the IRS scandal, the Fast and Furious Benghazi, Obamacare, and more. And he sees the 2016 presidential election shaping up to be another love fest for Hillary Clinton, the media focusing on the historic prospects of electing the first woman as president rather than reporting on, I guess, negative aspects of Hillary Clinton. Your response to his observation?
Well, there is, I think, a real excitement about the idea of having the first woman president, just like there was great excitement over having the first African-American president. I think sometimes you would say, can't we have a landmark like that without the reporter saying, therefore, because the president is historic by their race or gender, we don't do any reporting on them. I think what you get from the two callers when you put them together is, obviously, we have greatly differing opinions on just how accountable was Bush-Cheney held, how accountable is the Obama-Biden held, and the only way to really have that discussion is to get into what stories did they report? What stories did they not report? How hard charging have they been on these individual stories? And that's where we're going to try to bring research. We're not just going to try to bring an opinion. We're not trying to say we don't have an opinion, but we're trying to say, for example, you know, Cheryl Atkinson reported in 2011, the Attorney General Eric Holder acknowledged he misled Congress on this Fast and Furious scandal. She reported this, and ABC and NBC didn't do anything. And so the complaint we basically have is on a lot of these stories, when news is breaking, they decide it's not news. And what we get instead is what you'd call whatever the news is that Obama would like you to know. So like I said, we found last week that they had given many minutes to this interview with Zach Galifianakis, the movie star comedian, because they were trying to use that to sign up young people for Obamacare. That's the news agenda that Obama wants, and that's the news agenda that Obama gets. I think if you looked at what happened to Bush and Cheney, obviously you can feel like, well, unless they're impeached and removed from office, the media wasn't effective enough. You know, it depends on how you define. But, you know, we can certainly say that on a lot of stories that were negative for Bush, there were hundreds and hundreds of stories. And that's where we, yeah, what I would say to you as we were talking earlier about whether it's the Obamacare rollout, there was a lot of stories for a while, for a few weeks, and you can't, we're not going to deny that. But what tends to happen is there's two or three weeks of tough coverage, and then it's over, and we go back to puff, puff, puff.
Since you brought up the Between Two Ferns interview, let's take a listen to, this is actually a clip from NBC's Today Show, where social media host Carson Daly is raving about President Obama's interview. Let's take a listen to that.
President Obama's Two Ferns episode released this morning. How did the president do? Take a look.
If I ran a third time, it'd be sort of like doing a third Hangover movie. It didn't really work out very well.
It's over 6 minutes long. It was shot 2 weeks ago, and it is, all of it is really, really funny.
So we shouldn't say that it's funny, Tim, or I saw a lot of criticism, too, that maybe it was from a Republican critic saying that it was, you know, it was beneath the dignity of the presidency to go on such a, you know, such an interview show. And he took some lumps, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that, well, here's the thing. If you care about journalism, what you just heard there is what we've got. That's the Obama administration in miniature. And that is, we all laugh about how hilarious the president is, how great he is, how you couldn't possibly criticize him. We had an email inside our office saying, guys, let's not say it's not funny. That would make us look humorless. And my response was, look, the problem here is not that he granted the interview. And this was not really an interview. This was an advertisement. Let's try to underline what this was. Obama and the comedian put this interview together. The Funny or Die people have been helping Obama sell Obamacare to young people for months, if not years. This is all a political strategy. And, of course, all the networks want to do is talk about how funny it is, which isn't really the point. Maybe it is. But instead of having a press conference, instead of giving an interview to an actual journalist, he's doing a fake interview that's scripted in advance, so he can make funny lines about the third Hangover movie, planned, not just off the cuff. This is all a publicity thing. Everybody can look and see what this is. This is, and instead what happens is we get this, oh, the emperor's wonderful clothes. How funny is he? Instead of saying the Obama administration is not going to meet its goal that it set for itself about getting people signed up for Obamacare. Obviously, young people don't like it because they keep trying to force-feed them comedy to buy it. The latest thing was that they're all doing an ad with the mother of Alicia Keys and the mother of Jonah Hill and the mother of Adam Levine saying, kids, sign up for Obamacare. I mean, they're trying really hard to get young people to buy insurance, and it's not happening. So instead of reporting on how something that Obama is trying to do is not succeeding, we get a lot of giggling about how great his interview was.
Let's take some other calls. Rich in Lake Geneva is with us. Hi, Rich.
Thank you very much, Joy, for taking my calls and doing this program. I am a longtime supporter and listener of Wisconsin Public Radio, but I would just like to ask you and your guest if it is apparent in all of the reporting that you hear or what you looked at, that I often hear comments, especially on Wisconsin Public Radio, comments will be made about right-wing conservative groups, but I very seldom hear the label attached to other groups, left-leaning liberal groups. And just that, making that distinction kind of, to me, indicates that there's already a lack of seeing who the other side, or you can see who the other side is, but you can't see where you're coming from. And it just seems like we often hear about right-wing groups on the news and so forth. We very seldom hear about them refer to left liberal groups.
Well, I don't want to shine the spotlight or turn the focus off of national or CBS news and
the
other
national problem too.
Yeah, but let me say that at Wisconsin Public Radio, yes, I have said that you are pointing out liberal bias in the media, and you refer to you as a conservative media watchdog group. When we have Media Matters on, we also refer to Media Matters as a liberal media watchdog group, but we don't necessarily label every single guest we have on. But in any case, you agree with our guest, Tim, that that's a national problem too.
One of the first things I did at the age of 25 years ago when I started at the MRC, was study this tendency. And I was looking at coverage of groups like the Heritage Foundation in the national newspapers, the Washington Post, the New York Times, USA Today. And a group like the Heritage Foundation is labeled as a conservative group roughly about 40% of the time, not every time. But about 40% of the time. Then you look at think tanks on the left, and what you would see is they would be labeled as liberal or left 2% or less. And it's just a very interesting thing. And so I like to call it Graham's Law of Labeling. The epic political battles of our time are between the conservatives and the nonpartisans. And what happens is, yes, the guest is correct. It gives an impression, oh, you have to take those opinions with a grain of salt. Those are right-wing conservatives, when the people that they're fighting are merely experts. Now, doesn't that seem to suggest somebody is getting a boost because they're credible? They don't have an agenda, and that's where, again, it would also be included sometimes where people's biographies get slighted. So you bring on somebody who's a nonpartisan expert. What we'll be able to tell you is that person served for 6 years in the Clinton White House, which would seem to make, which would at least be a relevant item of information when they're assessing how a Democrat is doing. So that is a long-standing problem. It's a very subtle problem. So it's both subtle to notice a lot of times, but it adds up. It's remarkable the degree to which conservative groups are identified as conservative half the time, 40% of the time, 60% of the time. But I was finding, like, the NAACP, less than 1%. National Organization for Women, less than 1%. Whatever the liberal group is. There was one exception, Joy, that I found when I studied this, and that was People for the American Way got a liberal label because the name sounded too conservative. That one actually was labeled about 40% of the time because they were trying to make sure that people understood where they were coming from.
Let's get another call. Victor in Milwaukee. Hello, Victor.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guest. I would put the onus on the public. Why aren't they demanding less biased or unbiased news? Part of the problem is the public's fault. When you have these programs on, like Fox News, seems like President Obama cannot do any right. The other extreme, MSNBC, what can he do wrong? If the public demands more, less biased, unbiased news, maybe the problem will be solved.
Tim, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've certainly always tried to tell our members or our supporters that, you know, actually sending emails and contacting the networks to demand fairer coverage is a good idea. But I think today the question you have to ask yourselves when you watch ABC, CBS, or NBC is, when do these people ever air a correction? When do they really acknowledge, when do they ever read a letter to the anchorman? We don't have a model in network news of being in touch with the people. I mean, 60 Minutes, I don't know if they still read the letters. They used to have those letters right at the end. I don't think they do that anymore. There's not a sense of contact. This is one thing I really do like about NPR, All Things Considered or whatever, when they actually bring on some listener reaction, whether they like it or don't like it. The networks don't engage their audience in that way. And I think, honestly, you could say, a lot of times network news today doesn't do the serious subjects because they think it bores the people. And maybe they're right. You know, we're in an environment now where, well, you don't have to watch the news. You can watch 500 other things. And so, you know, I think to try to get people's attention, we end up getting, a serious set of stories about how Justin Bieber was arrested for drunk driving. Sometimes you could say, well, we didn't do the story on Obama because it's boring, you know, and that could be true. But this tends to especially happen in the second term of Democratic presidents. This, to me, feels like the second term of Clinton, when suddenly everything that was non-political was much more interesting.
Yeah, we need to wrap up, but I did say that you saw this situation at CBS News as another sign the network is moving in the wrong direction, and that wrong direction is entertainment reporting rather than real reporting?
Well, that is part of it. And again, I think it's, you know, and you could go back to looking at the Bush administration and say, look, there is such a thing as saying, let's look at a disaster, for example. What happened to some of this reconstruction money in Iraq? Everyone acknowledges money just vanished over there. You want to do a tough story on that? We're all going to acknowledge that's news. What happened to America's money? Why did it vanish in Iraq? And who is responsible? Obviously, they don't look very competent. In the same way, we would turn around now and say, it is a matter of public interest why this consulate in Benghazi was so unguarded. Why did that happen? Why did we lose four Americans? And how can we do things to prevent it from happening again?
Well, Tim, I wish we had a little bit more time. Next time you're on, we'll talk a little bit more about your book that you co-authored, Collusion, How the Media Stole the 2012 Election and How to Prevent it from Happening Again in 2016. Thanks very much for being with us.
You bet.
Tim Graham, Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center, Executive Editor of Newsbusters, a project of the MRC. I'm Joy Cardine. Our wake-up call is next here on the Ideas Network.